Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 15. The Bible says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The provocation is that period in the time of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. They provoked God sorely in that generation dying off in the wilderness. God got angry because God had delivered them with a tremendous, amazing deliverance from Egypt. It was spectacular. God even hardened Pharaoh's heart to make it more spectacular. God wanted this to be such a thing that it would never leave their memory, never leave their thoughts, that no matter what they went through, they would remember what God had done for them to get them out of Egypt. He wanted them to know they couldn't have done it. He wanted them to know it was impossible for them to have done that. And he wanted them to see the power of God so that they would remember it, not only their generation, all their lives, but that their children would speak about it and that we'd still be speaking about it to this day. And that worked. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that no matter how much, no matter how devastated the country was, he would not let them go. And so God would do something even greater and then keep doing something even greater. And I'm telling you, it was such a tremendous thing. And then God takes them out there and he gives them his law and he gives them bread falling down from heaven, and when they were thirsty, they would get water come out of a rock, a river of water coming out of a rock that would fill millions of people, all their needs and all their cattle and all their everything that they had. He gave them such, you know, they were led at night by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud in the day, and he would protect them from their enemies. And I mean, when they said, we're tired of bread, he gave them so much meat, they would choke on it. Then they get all the way up to the brink of the River Jordan, send a few spies in there, and they found out there were giants in the land. And there were, folks. Not these fairy tale kind of giants, which are, you know, taller than tall buildings, but these were big people. Now you think about a whole group of people, a whole country of people, and these people, they called them Anakims. These people were huge. They were big. We find some of them lasting as late as the times of David. And this guy, the Goliath, it actually tells us how big he was. He was close to 10 foot tall. He was as tall as that ceiling right there. 10 feet tall. Now, back in the day when battles were fought by hand, where you have a sword, you know, or a spear, and you go up against a 10 foot tall army, well, I can imagine you'd be a little scared too, you know. You'd be a little intimidated, right? Well, they were intimidated. But God had done such tremendous thing, and it got under God's skin. I guess that's foolish to say it that way, but that's sort of what happened. God got a little bit miffed at these people who didn't have enough faith to say, we can handle giants. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know, come on, have some backbone. But they, for some reason, didn't have backbone. They hardened their heart. They hardened their heart. And they would not be persuaded. Even though Joshua and Caleb were saying, hey, we went with you. We saw them too. We can handle this. We can handle this. We beat the kings on this side of the Jordan. Yeah, didn't we? Didn't we see all kinds of tremendous deliverance? Did you see the army of Pharaoh? All of them coming at us. And God let the waters go and it drowned them all. The next day, they were just dead bodies all along the beaches. We can handle this. But it didn't matter how much faith Caleb and Joshua had to tell them we can do this. They hardened their hearts. They even wanted to stone them. They wanted to stone those two men, trying to tell them. You know, sometimes it's amazing how people can get where somebody's trying to tell them the truth, tell them the truth out of the scriptures, tell them the spiritual truth that God has given them to say, and the attitude that people have is, let's stone them. You know what that's called? Hardening your heart. Getting all hard in your heart. Well, I got three things I want to point out, three realities that come to light because of this passage. Harden not your hearts, what he says. Harden not your heart. First thing that comes to my mind is that God is calling. You can't harden your heart against God's calling unless God is calling. And that's something you ought to consider. God's calling. Another reality I want to consider here, brought out in this thing, is that people are hardening their heart against God's calling. There's no other explanation for it. People are hardening their heart. And the third reality I want to talk about is, you have a choice. You have a choice. There is a real choice you've got to make in this life about God's call. Don't harden your heart. All right. The first point that to be made here is when God says, harden not your heart, it means He's calling you. He's making an offer. He's inviting. He's got open arms. He's making you some promises. And then he says, don't harden your heart. Now that's the point that he's making here in the book of Hebrews. Don't ever forget, the book of Hebrews is written to first generation Christian believers who were Jews, who were just about at the point of losing their nation. And God was getting them ready for that. They were going to lose their, just like Americans, if we lost America. If we got taken over by somebody else. And now we no longer are America. We get all divided up and split up and we go sent off into slavery. Something happens like that, well, it would affect us all. God saw these Jewish Christians and he said, something's coming. This was around the year 65 when this was written. And in 66, a war came in on Judea that destroyed that place, wiped out the temple, wiped out the sacrifices, completely got rid of their entire nationality. Their basis for nationality. They became a wandering people after that. And they were wandering for thousands of years till 1948 when they got a nation again. And it's an amazing thing. All of that is amazing, but the book of Hebrews was written because God was giving them an offer. It was an offer you can't refuse. This was good stuff. This is God saying, Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than David. Jesus is better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is better than the high priest here. Jesus is better than all of that stuff. Don't harden your hearts. It's going to be a little difficult. You got some things that aren't going to go just exactly right. You might go through some tribulation, what have you. But Jesus is better than all that. Jesus is worth it. Yeah, you might lose some things. Don't harden your hearts. Now that's what the whole point that he's making here is, harden not your hearts, because here these Hebrews had a choice. Do you realize that God is making offers? That God is calling? Do you realize that God is calling? The first way God calls, and he's calling us too, the first way God calls is through Scripture. You have not yet realized what a tremendous value that we have the Scriptures is to our lives. It is such a tremendous thing. You have not been able to fathom how great this is. Think about the Sunday school lesson this morning. And you have this Pharaoh who gets this dream. And this dream is not like a normal dream. Our normal dreams are really weird. Really out there. But this was a special dream. He knew this dream has a meaning. And so he says, I need somebody to tell me what this dream means. Suppose there weren't nobody. Suppose nobody could tell him. Suppose he went to his death never knowing what that dream meant. Well, you can see how that would be frustrating. I got a dream. I know it means something, but nobody can tell me. But you know God had provided someone who could tell him. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was Joseph. He calls him in and says, I hear you can interpret dreams. He says, God can give me the interpretation. It won't be a problem. Tell me what the dream is. Of course, that was a whole lot better than what they did to Daniel when they said, I can't remember the dream. You got to tell me what it was. Those poor wise men, all them charlatans out there pretending they could do dreams and stuff, astrologers and all that. And they said, this is absolutely unacceptable. You can't make us remember your dream, right? Well, at least Pharaoh could remember his dream. And Joseph told him the meaning. And you know what Pharaoh said? This is more valuable than anything else I've got. I've got somebody here who can tell me what God said. You know, you got that.
Amen.
You got it. It's right there in the Scripture. It's all there. The story of Joseph, it's there. The story of Daniel, it's there. You want to know what dreams, what they mean? You want to know what those dreams that Joseph had when he was a kid means? It's in there. The Bible tells you what they mean. You want to know what those parables mean? It's in there. You say, well, I'm not sure. I get confused when I read the Bible. You haven't read it enough. Keep reading it. The answers are in there. Hey, you know what God has given you? He's given you a calling. It's by the Scriptures. He says the Scriptures speak, and then you've got God's Word. You've got God's Word. Did you know that God is calling? The second way God calls is by preachers. I love to preach. I'm telling you, I love to preach. It's my favorite thing. It's way better than fishing. Way better. And I can actually tell you something. I'm going to tell you that I have as much authority to tell you what God is calling you as Jeremiah and Isaiah and Elijah and all them folks, because I got the Scriptures right there. And when they are well understood, it's the authority to speak for God.
Amen.
To say, God is calling you. Did you know God wants you? You know, I know some people have their doubts because they say, well, it says God hardened Pharaoh. Some people God hardens. And I think maybe, no, listen, forget about that. God did harden Pharaoh, and I'm not going to try to take away any of that. God has his decisions and what he does. Let him do it. God's not hardening you. God has told us as preachers of the gospel to tell everybody in the world God's calling you.
Amen.
He said, go to every creature. Tell them all. Every single one. Tell them. What if they're thieves? Tell them. Tell them God's calling them. What if they're adulterers? Tell them. What if they're in the occult? Have seven devils in them. Tell them.
Thank you, Lord.
What if they've been thieves all their life and now they're dying for their crimes? Tell them. You know what God says? He says, I'm not hardening anybody. I want everybody to be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? That's what he says. He commands all men everywhere, in every nation, in every language, of every tribe, of every tongue. He says that they repent. Come to the one that can save them. That's the call of God to you. Did you know that God is calling? Why does he want you? Why in the world would he want you? I don't know. I honestly don't have an answer for that. You know that drug addict that's on the street corner with a sign that says, we'll work for food? You want him? That's the kind of friend you want? No, you don't. Don't act all sanctimonious on me. Act like you know, that's the kind of person you invite home for dinner. Offer them a job and see if they'll take it. But that's what God did with you. He even told you. He told his mindset. He says when you're going to invite somebody, don't invite the rich and the wealthy and your important friends and people that can invite you back. Go out and invite somebody that's absolutely can offer you absolutely nothing. And then you'll have a reward in heaven. He's giving you his mindset. That's what God has done. He says, I'm calling you and you got nothing to offer me. If you think you got something to offer God, you're not even close. You're not even close to even hearing his call. You got nothing to offer God. Hey, did you know God is rich? God is rich. You're poor. God's rich. He doesn't need your money. Oh, you thought God wanted your tithes. No, that's not it, folks. That's not why. God doesn't need your money. In fact, you're costing him money. You're costing God money. God has to supply stuff. God has to take care of us. God, it's costing God. He's got wealth. He's got riches. He's got all kinds of stuff. But you're actually a bleed. You're actually a sieve. The stuff goes right through you. You're not an advantage to God. God's not getting rich because of you. The fact that you're warm in that chair, that's not making God any wealthier. The fact that you came out of your sin, that doesn't make God any richer, any better off. He came to you because he wants to help you. Who knows why? Who knows why? I don't know why. Do you know God's calling you? It's amazing that he wants us. Another way, not just preaching, and I am authorized to tell you, folks, I've got the Scriptures to prove it. I can walk you through them if you want. I'm authorized to tell you God wants you. He wants you to surrender to him and give your life to him. He wants you to repent of your sins. He wants to take you. He'll make you a new creature. He'll add you to the church. He'll give you fellowship with him. And someday he promises to come back for you. Someday he wants you to live with him. Even in that day, he's going to actually serve you. I'm authorized to tell you that because Jesus told us to tell you that. God's calling you. Another way God calls you is by trouble. You know, a lot of people say, why is God doing this to me? Because you don't listen any other way. Now, don't get me wrong. There might be other reasons. you might have caused you some problems. Amen. You know, sin will cause you problems. You go against God's way, it's going to cause you problems. There are consequences for making very foolish, worldly, wicked decisions. You make a decision to get on drugs, that's going to cause you problems. Might end your marriage, might lose your job, might put you in prison. That'll cause you problems. Then you can't look up at God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? But let me tell you something. It might not be you. You might be trying your best to do everything the right way and everything goes wrong. And you say, why is God doing this to me? Because you're not listening. It's very entirely possible that you're just not listening to God. You're not allowing God, God's way, God, you're not surrendered to Him. And so God has to send you trouble. Do you realize that is what God says? That's why He sends trouble? So that men would seek Him. You know why God, you know what the Bible says that God made hell? To make you fear. Amen. He's trying to create something in you to make you fear. And you ought to fear God. You ought to be turned by God. You ought to be touched by God. Amen. What does God have to do to you to make you seek Him? Have you noticed that if everything's going well, you don't even remember God? Amen. You don't think about Him. If you got a full belly and everything's going well, you got a job, everything looks fine. If prospects are looking up, if you're candidate one, everything looks all wonderful and rosy, you just don't really need God. It's amazing. The moment you find out you got cancer, what do you do? Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, your girlfriend leaves you. Oh, God. Oh, God. You got a toothache. Oh, God. Why do you think God sends you trouble? He's trying to wake you up. You realize that's what this life is about? It's about aches and pains and finally growing old and dying in a way you don't want to. It's about getting old and talking to all the other old people about all your different operations. That's what old people do, you know. They sit around and say, well, I had this and I'm on this medicine and I'm on that medicine. Oh, you know that doctor? Yeah, I know him too. Is that how you envisioned your life? Is that what you were looking for? Is that what you're doing right now, working hard so you can retire and be sick without having to go to work? That's what you want to do? Your ambition in life is to sit on the rocking chair, clicking the remote. That's your life. That's what you're going for. Hey, folks, that's not it. You know what God does? He sends trouble early on. Why? To wake you up when there's still time. He wants to wake you up. Come on. Isn't that what God did in the Bible? Didn't He send trouble to make people seek Him? To make people turn to Him? He sent trouble to Israel. He sent trouble to all kinds of people to wake them up. You know what the Bible says about that, Lydia? It says the Lord opened her heart. What's what God's... You know, it makes a real difference. God opens people's heart by trouble. I knock on doors all the time. We're knocking on doors. You know what I find out? People aren't interested. Close the door. But when somebody says, tell me more, I can almost guarantee you they got trouble.
Amen. Amen.
They got trouble. They'll start telling me, got trouble. I got divorce. I got a problem with my son. He's on drugs. My husband's on drugs. I got this problem. I got this other problem. Trouble. Did you know trouble is a call of God? Amen. God is saying, come. You got trouble? I got answers. You got sickness? I got healing. That's God. That's God saying, I'm calling you. What? You're lonely? I got fellowship. What is it you need? You got sin? I got redemption. I got purification. I got the purging of sin. I got it all. What do you need? God's got it. God's calling you, and that's what God does. He wakes you up by trouble. You got a footache? That's what God's trying to tell you. Wake up. Wake up. Pay attention to me. That's a great blessing. You know that God is calling. God is calling. Let me tell you another way He calls. His Holy Spirit. Do you know God talks to you? Yes. Talks to you in that still, small voice in there. You might think it's your conscience. It just might be God's Holy Spirit saying, hey, what about me? I don't know if you've ever been at the crossroads of somewhere where you're making a big decision, and God just whispers to you and says, hey, what about me?
Amen.
Follow me here. And you went that other way, and boy, did it hit you. You know what you did? You hardened your heart.
Amen.
You hardened your heart. You went that other way. You chose not to go with God. But God's Spirit does call. Did you know if you hear enough of the Word of God, that God's Spirit will talk to you? You hear enough, you read enough of the Word of God, God's Spirit will come in and talk to you. You'll say, don't go down that road. Did you know sometimes a scripture reference will come to your mind?
Thank you, Lord.
And that's God telling Amen. You, hey, what about this?
Amen.
Hey, what about that? God's calling you. Amen. It's a call of God. Do you not realize what a tremendous blessing that is?
Amen.
Man, this is tremendous. This is amazing. God is calling us. We can't even figure out why He wants us. But God's calling us. Now, there's another thing that's a reality here in our day and age, in our lives, that we face every single day, and that is that people are hardening their hearts. You know what hard-hearted is, right? We say hard-hearted if, you know, they're not compassionate. They run over a squirrel and they don't go, oh, poor little baby squirrel, not going to have his daddy come home tonight. And if they act like that, they say, you got a hard heart. That's what they tell me. You got a hard heart. I don't cry over squirrels, folks. I got a hard heart. And I don't cry over puppies. And when I killed them rabbits to eat them, I didn't cry. No. And when I had to shoot a dog, I didn't cry. I got a hard heart. That's what it is. I'm hard-hearted toward animals. Not really. I like my pets. I like my dogs. I like to treat them good. But I am pretty hard-hearted when it comes to this nonsense. You got all these snowflakes out here. They're worried about every little thing. They're worried about everything. Good grief. I could get into that. I'm not going to, just for time constraints. There's a whole lot of junk there. I just want you to know the norm in our time is that people are hardening their hearts. Because there's more than just lack of compassion that's called hardening of heart. There's also a pride that gets in that is a hardening of the heart where you're so fixated on, you know, your image or something of that nature. You're just so fixated on your arrogance, your pride. You don't want to lose face or whatever that you'll harden your heart against God's call. And people do this all the time. This was Pharaoh. He's king. I mean, the Pharaoh in the times of Joseph became such an absolute dictator king that by the next few generations, these kings were just all full of themselves. And he's king and he says, no, I'm not going to let you go. Who do you think you are? I'm not going to do that. Why? Lifted up his heart in pride. Lifted up his heart in pride. You know how many people lift up their hearts in pride? They harden their heart against God's call, against God's wooing, against His reason. And God is reasoning with you. God is calling you. But you're too proud. You won't confess your sins. You won't say you're wrong. So proud. Why would people be so proud? Some people are so proud of their religion. Our religion's the right one. It's the biggest one. That's too much pride, folks. It's too much pride. Some people are so proud of themselves, they think they're okay. You're hardening your heart. God's trying to tell you something. The scriptures are telling you something. The preachers are telling you something. God is whispering in your ear, telling you something, but you're too proud. You can't listen to God. You just shut it all off. Oh my, how people are closing themselves off, hardening their heart against God's word. Even in our generation, in our day and time, it's amazing. People are lazy. They harden their heart because they're lazy. It's a lot of work to go to church. It's a lot of work to read the Bible. It's a lot of work to give your life to God. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of trouble. I had a young man tell me he was going to church for a while, and then I asked him. I called up to him and said, "How come you haven't been coming?" He says, "La bronca, the trouble. It's just too much trouble." And he was talking about his family giving him trouble for changing religions or what have you. Too much bronca, too much difficulty, too much mess, too much stress. That's hardening your heart. You say, I can't handle it. Fear. People are afraid.
Amen.
People are afraid what's going to happen.
Amen.
They're afraid they're going to lose their friends. All three of them. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid they're going to lose their face. They're afraid they're going to lose, I don't know. They're afraid they lose their daddy's acceptance or I don't know. They're afraid of stuff. You know how many people have just refused to follow God because of fear? Just because it's unknown. I don't want to go down that way. I'm afraid. Amen. Amazing. Some people have lost any kind of optimism. They're so cynical, they don't believe anything. Cynicism, they just harden their heart. They don't believe it. You tell them, but you know what God did here and what God said there? Nah. Just dismiss it out of hand. I don't believe that junk. I'm not interested. I had a guy tell me, I asked him about where he stood with God. Lawyer friend. He said, you know, I had a son, 27 years old, and he died. From that time on, it had nothing to do with God. You see what I'm saying? They just get cynical. They say, if I have something bad happen to me, I'm just going to harden my heart. I'm going to shake my fist at God and say, God, if you're willing to do that to me, I will never speak to you again. What are you, Genghis Khan? Are you big, big, strong guy? You think you can fight God? You can't fight God. Why don't you humble yourself? Stop hardening your heart. Why don't you soften your heart? Why don't you come to God a little bit? Humble! Humble what's in your life. Just come down humble. Why don't you bow your head? Why don't you ask God for some forgiveness? Why don't you ask God for some help? What, are you too proud? Why are people hardening their heart? You know what people do? They get stubborn in failure. Stubborn in failure. They're doing the same things over and over. They're stuck in a rut so bad and they're failing every time and their life is going downhill, but they won't change. They won't turn around. They won't listen to God. You can't even explain to them this is stubborn failure over and over and over again. You fail. You lose one child because of your stupidity, because of your drunkenness, because of your whatever, and you raise your next child the same way. You mess up one marriage because of your stupidity, because of your laziness, because of your bad attitude. And then you get married again and do the same old things. You marry some bum who likes to fight and gamble and go to bars. And what? It turns out not so good for you. You go to the hospital many times. You got bruises all over you, yeah? But then when you get ready to get married again, you go find them in the same spot. Why? You're stubborn in your failure. It's called hardening your heart. It's just hardening your heart. You say, I don't want to change. I don't want anything new. I want the same old failure. Give me the same old rotten road I've been going down all my life. Man. Self-deceit. They can deceive themselves into thinking they're happy when they are miserable. Miserable. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. It's heaviness. It's sorrow. Destruction and misery are in her ways, the Bible says. You go down that road. You go down that way. And everything becomes worse and worse. And your life is falling apart. But as long as the Cowboys have won 8 and straight, you're okay. Everything's fine. You'll be okay. You can smile at work. Why? Your life is a shambles. Everything's falling apart. You've got no direction. You've got no sense of purpose. You don't know why you're even here. All you know is you're just going to keep on doing the same thing over and over and over until you die. Until you die. And then you got nothing. And God is saying, hey, what about me? I got something better for you. I can give you a whole better life. I can point you out some purpose. I can make you useful for eternity. I can do something for you. I can save you. I can change you. I can deliver you. You got problems? I got answers. Amen. That's our God. Yes. But you know, people harden their heart. They say, I don't want those answers. Somebody's going to call me an hallelujah. Somebody's going to call me a religious fanatic. Who cares what they call you? Your life is a shambles anyway. You're just all messed up, but you're pretending you have a good time. Self-justification. People will do backflips and all kind of gymnastic moves in order to justify their own sin. You hear a drunkard justifying his own sin. You hear an adulterer justifying his own sin. You hear a homosexual justifying his own sin. You hear some lady having an abortion justify their own sin. They even have that intact extraction thing they justify. Intact extraction. You know what that is? That's partial birth abortion. That's where they take a baby that's full term, ready to be born, turn it around so it's coming out feet first. They pull it out, only the head inside, and then they kill it. But they justify that. Why? Well, this kid was going to have problems. Down syndrome or something. High, you know, and it was legal. It's not anymore, thank God, but it was legal. And people justify that. That Hillary Clinton justified it in one of those debates. She said it's a difficult decision. No, it's not. That's not a difficult decision. Let it live. You don't have to kill it. Let it live. Why they justify themselves? How can they justify their drunkenness, their drugs? They justify their marijuana, no matter what it's done to them. They'll justify everything. They'll justify their gambling. They've lost everything, but they'll justify it. They'll insist it's okay. It's all right. Justify their evil thinking, their evil mind, their evil thoughts, their evil words that come out of their mouth. Justify everything. It's called hardening your heart. And that's what people are doing. They're hardening their heart. Procrastination. Do you know that's hardening your heart? You say, well, I'll get around to that. You know, repent, I'll get around to it. Don't give up on me, I'm going to get around to it one of these days. I'm going to get that one thing out of my life one of these days. Yeah, I'm going to straighten this thing out one of these days. I'm going to get it right with that brother one of these days. I know I did this one brother over there wrong. One of these days I'm going to work that out. But you keep on putting it off and you keep on putting it off. That's called hardening your heart. You're hardening your heart. You won't get it right. And why? Why is that hardening? Because the more times you put it off, the harder it becomes to do it. You say at a convenient time. It'll be more convenient some other time. Never will be. It will never be more convenient than right now. It will never, ever come out easier. It'll never be easier. It'll always be harder. The Bible talks about people with seared consciences. And the more time you shut down your conscience or put it off, and you just keep on putting it off, after a while, you get calloused in your conscience. And it stops having any results. It stops having any effect. You no longer can cry over your sins. You can no longer feel shame for your sins. You just start losing all sense of it. It's called, you've deadened it. You've deadened your conscience. It's called hardening your heart. It's happening all the time. It's happening in this room right now. What does God say? Harden not your hearts. Soften them. Turn it around. Let me tell you, the third point, the first third reality I'm trying to get across to you is you have a choice. You don't got to go down that road. You can actually soften your heart. You can turn to God with a little bit of hope and say, God, have mercy on me. You can humble yourself. Did you know you can humble yourself? The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He tells you to humble yourself. You can do that. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Amen. Especially if you have that self-deceit going really good. Amen. You think you're really something. Might be hard for you to humble yourself. Hey, you can do it though. That's what God is telling you. Soften your heart. Don't harden your heart like they did. Why don't you do it a little different? You see what happened to them, right? Don't do that. Is that hard? is that a real stretch? Is that just unreasonable? You saw that guy drive off a cliff. Well, don't drive that direction. Go a different direction. You know, you see what alcohol did to your daddy? Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Tell God, help me, God, help me. I need some help. What's wrong with asking for help? What's wrong with saying, God, I need you? You don't even provide the air you breathe. Of course you need him. Of course you need him. You can't make your heart beat. You need him. You need God. You can't even invent food. There's no such thing as artificial food. You can't make yourself live no matter what. They're talking about settling Mars. Ha! Good luck with that. Go settle Mars. Go see what you can do up there in Mars. You can't even make your own food. Every piece of food you eat, God made. God invented it just to happen. Just comes out. It's popping out all over the world, all over the place. And people just go out and gather it up. You need God. Why can't you humble yourself and say, I need God. I need God in my marriage. I need God raising my kids. What, are you so smart? Are you that smart that you know how to raise your kids? Boy, you're smarter than all the rest of us. We don't know how to do it. God gives us a little bit of wisdom. God points out a few things. He says, how about trying this? How about trying that? How about trusting me? How about praying for them? None of us are that smart. None of us are that wise. You're just going to have to trust God for some things. Did you know you can soften your heart? Amen. You can hear God's word and let it mix with faith. You know, these people are so cynical. They don't believe anything. They'll actually tell you the Bible's forged. They'll tell you there was no such person as Moses. They're fools. They're just plain fools. They'll tell you that the synoptic gospels were written in the second century by people trying to make up a religion. These people are idiots. They've got scientific proof that they were written before that. They've got actual scientific evidence that these things were written exactly around the time they say they were, and they're talking about times. I've read the books. They're there. I can show it to you. It's not possible for anybody to forge these things. But there are people that are so cynical, they harden their hearts, they won't even give them a second thought. I was in New York. We were passing out tracts. Me and Steve Dalross and I forget, a bunch of other people from this church were up there. We were all passing out tracts. And I got to noticing all these people just so busy, so going there in suits and ties, coming out of these big tall buildings, going, a whole bunch of Jewish people, you could tell them coming over this way and that way and wanting to talk to each other. And I'm trying to pass out tracts. He's not interested. So I started saying, this is the most read, most persuasive author that ever wrote. It's the Apostle Paul. It's extracts from the most popular book ever written. I started preaching it just like that. Hey, this is the best. And you know, people started lining up. I'm talking about people in suits. Old Steve is passing them out while I'm preaching like that on the street corner. Steve is passing them out. He can't keep up with them. They're reaching over each other trying to get one. And all I was saying is, the most persuasive author that ever wrote. He's changed more people's lives. He's turned people around more than anybody else. Come read the book of Romans. Come read the book of Galatians. Come read these extracts from the most persuasive man that ever wrote a book. And they start coming out of the woodwork. What? Why are they so hard-hearted? Why are they so hard-hearted? Why can't they believe what God has showed them and what has turned out to be so beneficial in so many people's lives? Did you know you have a choice? You don't have to harden your heart. God's not hardening your heart. I guarantee it by the scriptures. I guarantee God's not hardening anybody in here tonight. God's trying to make you believe. He's trying to persuade you. He is talking to you with tender, tender words. And His Holy Spirit's talking to you right now saying, don't harden your heart. Turn to Me. Come to Me. I've got answers. I've got solutions. I've got salvation. I've got eternal life. That's what God's saying. Humble yourself. Stir yourself. Move yourself. You've got stuck in a rut? Change yourself. Turn yourself around. You say, man, I can barely get up and go to church. Change. You say, well, I got to work. Change your job. Amen. Do something. Do something. Don't harden your hearts. You say, well, I can't help it. I can't do anything else. This is all I can do. That's not true. You're just believing that stupid lie of the devil. Tells you can't do it. You can't change yourself. You can't change your heart. You can't soften your heart. You just got to go with the flow. You're stuck in this rut. You can't get out. It's a lie. God says, don't harden your heart. Soften your heart. Turn to God and say, God, help me. Hey, it's just talking about humble yourself. Why don't you let God have His way? Why would that be so wrong? Why would that be so horrible? God have His way? When has His way ever been worse than your way? When has His plans for you ever been less exciting than your plans for you? People who argue that way are the ones that have no plans whatsoever. No plans. They got no purpose, no meaning, no significance, and they know it. Don't harden your heart. You know what you need? You need an encounter with God. You need something to change. You need to know God as a friend and as a Savior, as your Creator and as the one who really does have control over your life. You need to know God as your judge. And as your advocate, and as someone that'll stand up in your place and say, I can handle you. I can take care of you. I can take care of your sins. You got problems? He can take care of them. Amen. You need a new life. You need to change. You need the whole thing turned around. That's what you need. I mean, I tell you, you need that more than the air that you breathe and more than the food that you're going to eat today. You need it more. You need God in your life. Why don't you surrender to His will? Why don't you submit to His Word? Why don't you let God be the guide of your life? You haven't done that great of a job with it. You ain't got much to offer God. See what he could do with it. God's got the plan. God's got the answers. God's got the right. Don't harden your heart. God calling you, don't harden your heart. You know what you can do? You can do right now. You don't have to talk to me. You can right now say in your heart, God, I surrender. I give you my life.
Yes, amen.
I've messed my life up. Or maybe you think you haven't messed your life up that way. Tell him, God, I'll mess my life up. If I don't listen to you, I'm going to mess my life up. I don't have the answers. I want you to take over. I want to follow by your holy word. I want to do what your word says. I want to follow your will. I want your will, God. I want your will. I don't want my will. I want your will. What do you want? You can talk to God like that right now. You're a Christian. You've been messing up. You've been hardening your heart against God's word and against what God wants out of your life. You've been walking in this rut and you can't get out. You can't get off your drugs. You can't get off your alcohol. You can't get off your lust. You can't get out of your pornography. You can't stop your gambling. You can't stop your covetousness. You can't stop your anger and your bitterness. You can't stop all this meanness that's going around in you. You can't fix your family. You can't fix your relationship with your wife. Why don't you give God a chance?
Amen.
Why don't you say, God, help me. Help me, God. I'm sorry. I messed up. What do you want me to change? Why don't you humble yourself? Why don't you get on your knees? Why don't you say, well, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry, my beautiful wife. I'm sorry. Why don't you humble yourself and not harden your heart? Don't get so stuck in your way. Don't get so stubborn. Don't get stubborn in failure. Don't insist on the same old thing over and over and over again until it's just too late. You've just burned your conscience so that it's no good anymore. Then even the best preaching in the world can't move you. You can soften your heart right now. You can say, God, help me. You can do it right now. Let's pray. I don't know their hearts, Lord. I don't know any of these folks in their heart, what they're